be healed. Come on, I'm sure you can do better than that.
Amen. If it's Jesus you are celebrating, you can celebrate it better and louder. Amen. It's so good to be in the lorry. Hallelujah. I feel so much at home. I feel so much at home. Because I stood the University of Ilorin. So it's so good to be back 16 years after. Hallelujah. So everywhere is memorable for me. So when I came to this property, memories came again. Hallelujah. I want to celebrate our dear man of God and his beautiful wife. Thank you so much for the honor. Thank you for having us in Ilorin. Thank you for the hospitality. I wish I came to eat. God, they want to finish us with food. God bless you so much. I appreciate everything. Thanks for the honor. Thanks for the honor. And to the men of God, I appreciate you. Thanks so much for sacrificing your time to be here. And everyone who came to be a part of this program, celebrate yourself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is set to do so much in this gathering. While you get excited, ensure that you are positioned to receive of Him this evening, because I see God turning lives around. God will be fixing people, positioning them in the right place that they are meant to be. Please ensure that you are not excited, that you get distracted. Fix your gaze on Him and let Him alone brood over you. Until your gaze is fixed on Him, He cannot brood. So please allow your gaze, allow full concentration on Him, and let Him begin to brood over your life. Are you ready for what He said to do this evening? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, okay, you are still standing. You can have your seat. You can have your seat. Today we're going to be running a teaching on breaking marital patterns. Breaking marital patterns. Amen.
One of the things that I realized from my end while I was, you know, growing up in my singlehood, in my life as a person, you know, in the years I have lived on earth, is that there are patterns. Patterns exist. A number of persons, some persons find it hard to believe, but if you look very well in your parents' marriage or your life, you realize that there are certain patterns, but it's just that some persons are not conscious of this pattern. A pattern is like something that is a repeated order, something that you see repeatedly, like a repeated oppression that happens in your life, you know, regularly, just keeps on happening, like a cycle that repeats itself. For example, someone like me, while I was growing up, I realized that, you know, where my parents come from, marriages do not work. Marriages do not work. In fact, as a matter of fact, I'm a child that from a broken home. My parents are separated, you know. And in my father's side, most people, most of his siblings, they give birth out of wedlock. They get to just, after giving birth, illicit pregnancy, and then that's when they just, you know, come together and, you know, get married. And most marriages, both from my father and my mother's side, don't work. It doesn't work. That was the kind of life I saw growing up. And, you know, I realized very early enough that there are patterns. There are negative patterns as well as there are positive patterns. Just like the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and seasons. If you check the generation of Issachar, you realize that those kids, they were something else. So also, there are negative patterns in life. There are negative patterns. So I realized very early, I saw it, that from my mother and my father's side, if I do not live intentionally, if I'm not conscious of some things about my life, I will end up repeating the same order, the same arrangement, the same operational system that I saw working my own. Even when marriages come together, even when the people who get married legally, you see that the marriage doesn't just work. They see that the ones who give birth outside wedlock, they just give it, and like, you know that kind of thing, now after giving birth, what next? Let's just jam. Out of pity, they marry. You know, and I saw a lot of things like that growing up, and I realized that the truth is, patterns exist. Patterns exist. Amen.
So we can establish that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 23 to 26. Matthew 22, verse 23 to 26. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says, the same day the Sadducees who came, who said there was no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second married the wife and also died. And the third inherited the wife and married and also what?
Died.
Up to the seventh and also died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a strong pattern. Very strong. But the challenge I have with this scripture was the fact that the people who came to Jesus did not come to ask the right question. They were so interested about who will marry the woman in resurrection, rather than asking what happened that seven men married a woman and seven men died, and the woman is still alive. Certain times as believers, we come to Jesus and never ask the right questions. Why? Because there is tendencies that we have accepted certain things that are demonic to be the norm.
Yeah, true.
It becomes normal. So, they saw pattern repeating itself, rather than coming to meet Jesus to ask the right question. They are interested in, you know, as believers, we are so much interested in pleasure rather than truth. Who will marry the woman in heaven? They still want to continue the pleasure. The pleasure that has been killing them, that has been cutting destiny short, they are still interested in that pleasure in heaven, rather than facing the reality that there is a problem here. A generation that is so carried away with pleasure, rather than facing the truth about life and destiny. We have seen our parents made mistakes, generation made mistakes, uncle, auntie around us making several mistakes. Rather than us asking questions, we are eyeing the kissing, the shawarma. I wish I'm married today. I wish my husband can lift me and take me to the bed. That is not the question you should be asking. The question you should be asking is, what happened that I am here?
Mm-hmm.
Ask the right question.
Yeah, and I feel that quite a number of singles do not ask the right questions because they have abused the purpose of the mouth.
True.
So the mouth has turned into what they derive in getting pleasure, and they have forgotten so soon that marriage is not beans. Marriage is not something you handle casually.
Yes.
Many singles handle marriages casually, and they end up becoming casuals in marriage. You know, so you end up with, you just accidentally choose a spouse, whereas you forget so soon that marriage, beyond marriage, there is a destiny over your life. So it's not necessarily about the marriage. Marriage, the reason for marriage is that the two people come together in companionship to fulfill a destiny. So many times, a lot of people abuse the function of the mouth, forget to ask relevant questions, because a lot of singles live life casually. Mm-hmm. Some people just jump, wake up, sleep and wake up, and that's all that matters in life.
Yeah.
They do not understand that in the beginning, in God's creation, there was a reason why you were created.
True.
You were predestined, created for relevance. And so therefore, because you have a destiny over your head, you must be very intentional about who you choose. Because who you choose bears consequences, positive or negative.
Yeah.
But a lot of Christians have forgotten so soon. So you abuse the function of your mouth. And you forget that there are questions you need to ask. Things you need to observe and things you need to investigate. Because you can never truly invest your emotions in someone until you investigate thoroughly.
Yeah.
Praise God.
So one of the questions we're asking today is about patterns. Marital patterns.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, patterns exist.
Patterns
Let
exist.
Me establish the fact that we are new creation reality preachers. And we believe so much in new creation reality. Before you judge us and say, hey, they went to go and bring some lawyers to come here today. Oh, no. I believe that the works of Jesus is finished. I believe strongly in it. I believe strongly in it. But you see, if you do not enforce your right in Christ,
yeah,
you can be a victim of circumstance.
True.
Have you gone to the hospital and you are seated with a doctor, and the doctor, after they finish testing, they realize that you have diabetes or you have a kind of sickness.
BP, yeah, blood pressure.
Blood pressure. Yeah. And the doctor now says, you have diabetes. And the doctor goes further to say, is this thing in your bloodline? Does your father have diabetes? How many of you have heard that question before? Doctor, we ask you, whether the doctor is born again and overborn again, he will ask you. You don't tell the doctor that, you see, I'm a new creation reality. All things are passed away. No. See, these things, they exist. You must deal with it. You must enforce your rights in Christ.
True.
For you to be victorious. Because the devil will not just fold his hands and he's looking at you succeed. He will do everything in his capacity to make sure that mistakes are repeated. If you are not conscious of that fact and you are carried away with the fact that, oh, Jesus has paid the price, there's nothing I'm going to do again. You become a victim of circumstance.
True, very true.
I know of a man who is a man of God, and for every city he enters, he knows where the prostitute joint is. He's a man of God. I mean, when he landed in Benin City, he was able to... Nobody told him, oh God. He knows where the prostitute joint is. Something will take him there. He will sleep with a prostitute. He had messed up his congregation so much, and we started diagnosing this friend of ours. And guess what we realized? As powerful as he was as a man of God, breaking grounds in his city, but unfortunately, he was losing ground as well, too, because of this bondage that he found himself. When we started diagnosing, we realized that his father as well too was a great preacher. Mighty preacher. And guess what? He told us, he said the top people in the city was attending his father's church. The same thing that he's dealing with was the same thing that closed down his father's ministry. The same thing. Women and anger. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing flows in bloodline. If you are not conscious of it and you are carried away and you do not deal with it, there's tendencies that you repeat. The devil, let's look at the story of Job in the Bible. The Bible says there was a meeting in the realm of the spirit. In the realm of the spirit. And the devil was passing by. And God called the devil into this meeting. I said, where are you going to? He said, I'll be walking to and fro the earth. When we say to and fro, you think that the devil was walking from Ghana. He will now come. He's a spirit.
Yeah.
So he was not going to Ghana. Then from there he was in Ilorin. Then they say, where is the devil today? Say, the devil is in Ilorin, or he's no longer in Benin. So in Benin we are safe for now because the devil is busy. No, that was not the to and fro he was talking about.
The devil moves in generational lineage, begins to move to and fro, looking for accusations. He's looking for facts, because that is the only way. You know, in the realm of the spirit, you realize that the Bible talks about bring your strong reasons. It's a judicial system. If you do not understand the operations of the realm of the spirit, you become a victim of it. The devil goes to and fro. He goes into the lineage and he sees that it was illicit sex that destroyed your dad, or your dad was a drunk that destroyed your dad. He takes it and brings it as a fact and begins to move to the new generation and begin to present it to them. You realize that all of a sudden you're a Christian, you like alcohol. Just like alcohol. You took one sip. From there, you started drinking like your father. Your mother will look at you and call you Babatunde. Because you are like your father. They have seen a pattern moving. That's why the Bible says, casting down every stronghold and imaginations. The devil truly does have power, but he works with fast. Apostle Paul speaking as well, he said, give no place for the devil. So, there is tendency that you can give place, despite the fact you are a new creation believer. If you give place to the devil, he takes advantage of your life. And you just realize that patterns will start having their way in your life. I say, but I am a Christian. Why is it that in our family, none of us rise? Why is it that all of us, people die at a particular time, and yet they are believers? You have to diagnose. You have to diagnose your walk with Christ so that the devil will not have a hold over your life. And that is why we are here today. And every yoke will be broken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said every yoke will be broken in Jesus' name. How to break marital patterns.
How to break marital patterns.
Number one.
Number one, identify the patterns in your family and your life. Identify the patterns in your family and your life. For example, when I was going to get married, I first of all observed my family. I didn't even wait till when I was going to get married, because you really don't have to wait. There are things you need to start counseling in the spirit before you even get due for marriage. So you're not supposed to wait. So right now you're listening, you're like, but I'm not ready for marriage. You don't have to be of a marriageable age to prepare for marriage. So I started observing that in my family, marriages don't work. Because you see, what you observe will make you stir up an attitude, a lifestyle. Because it's your lifestyle that will determine the choice of the life partner.
Yeah.
When there's no style about your life, you cannot tell who partner with your life. Praise God. So I was very intentional. I was like, wow, okay, I was sitting and I asked my mom question. How did you get here? How did you marry my father? Because I saw it. My aunties, they were just, you know, marriages wasn't just working. In the village my mom came from, it wasn't just about my home now. In the village my mom came from, the neighbors around, I mean, promiscuity was it was like normal thing, normal routine. It was a regular thing. And I was like, wow. Girls getting pregnant. In fact, it was so bad that one of these days I was having a conversation with one of my friends. And she was like, where are you from? I mentioned this place in Asaba. And she said, those places, girls there. They are very unfaithful. They always jump from one man to another. I started rebuking it, telling her. I said, this is not me. I was very intentional. I was so intentional about who I was going to choose, my lifestyle, and who I was going to choose. Because I knew where I was coming from. So I was so determined about my life. You know, so I was writing. I would take a notebook. I would write it. Okay. My daddy's family is like this. My mom's family is like this. Even when my husband came to meet me, when he approached me, I had to start diagnosing his own too. It's true. When he told me his father died, I asked him, what killed your father? No, you see, these are very important things. Courtship is for communication.
Yeah.
You must questions. Communicate intelligent things. It's not when you're going to buy me shawarma. Those are petty things.
You didn't send me recharge card.
You didn't send me recharge card. You're not shawarmizing your destiny.
Yeah.
You know, understand. I'm talking about questions here. Mm. Intelligent questions. I was asking questions. What killed your dad? I wasn't asking because I wanted to run. Yeah. I want people that I can know.
What we are dealing with.
Because it is communication that builds intimacy. It's not sex.
Yeah.
Sex is a percentage of intimacy, but communication is the highest form of intimacy. Mm. So I was communicating because I needed to know what I was going into. My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
The quickest way to death in marriage is lack of knowledge. Mm. Praise God. So I asked him, I said, who killed your dad? And he's talking about one sickness or the other. I said, okay. There are some people in your family that get sick like this. What about your mom's family? I observed that they have one kind of issue. I started writing. I said, I can know.
Mm.
Why? So that we can also know what to fight in the place of prayer.
True.
So I wasn't just asking because I wanted to get scared or wanted to run. I was asking so that we can know what we agree on. You see, what you don't know, you don't even know what to agree on.
That's true.
So if you need to be able to have the knowledge of something for you to agree in the place of prayer.
Yeah.
Because some people pray amiss. So when you know what you should pray for, it is easier to conquer. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that was the first thing I needed to do. You need to identify your pattern, negative pattern. What is that thing that you are seeing that is repeated? For some persons, it can be that in your family, people don't get married on time. Their family is like that. We are counselors. We get to counsel people. You see, in some families, you know, some people don't get married. Some of them get married when they're in their 40s. You don't just accept it that way. Some people don't get pregnant until they're in their 50s or late 40s. In some families are like that. You know, so if you need to identify what is operational in your family. You need to identify what is that thing that runs in your family. Mine was so bad that when my sister got married, her marriage did not last. I'm telling you the truth. This is real life experience. My own was so bad that when my sister got married, her marriage did not last. And you see, when I was checking even the preparations for her marriage, I knew that something was going to get me sick. Because you see, even these things that we get excited about, planning wedding ceremony, is nice, so there's nothing wrong. But when you understand that marriage is more than ice cream,
yeah.
When you understand that marriage is more than ashwebi, when you understand that marriage is more than name all the things, Paris, going to Dubai, honeymoon. Mm. When you understand that there is something about your life that the devil wants to fight, you will prepare well, more in the spirit than physical. So when I was preparing for my wedding, I already knew where I was coming from. I knew where I was going to. And most importantly, I knew my journey in life. Mm. So I was very, very intentional. When my sister was getting married, you need to see, if it's more traditional, they had it. Traditional ceremonies and all the lights. But she was moving. She was just excited, moving up and down. Like, wow. My sister all of a sudden has forgotten where she's coming from.
Mm.
She's just excited like that. You know, you can be excited in flesh and no excitement in there. There's no stirring in your spirit.
It's true.
You are talking about being joined to another person. As much as there are angelic witnesses, the devil is waiting. I want to see the next home that will give me entertainment.
Yeah.
And so I was there, knowing where I was coming from, knowing where I was going to in life. I knew most importantly that I needed to identify. And through identifying, I needed to begin to fight in the place of prayer.
Mm.
So the first thing you must do intentionally is to identify. Don't live life casually. Don't live life just excitedly. Look into your life. Make it a self-evaluation. Before you begin to look for who is right for you or not. You sit down on your own and find out for yourself, what is that thing about my life? Some of you may be anger. In your family, they break TV when they're angry. Oh, you've not seen. Oh, you're surprised. Oh, there are families like that. To check is a temperamental thing.
Mm.
They break as in. One of my uncles one time, he used to break TV. And I realized that it was not just him. My other uncle too break. I said, this is a breaking spirit. I'm telling you, he breaks. When he's angry, his phone goes down. TV goes, I say, if guy's not okay, woman will go down. So, you need to identify. You know, maybe you've been in a relationship before. It might not even be your family, it might be you. And people, guys just leave you anytime. And they just tell you, it's anger.
Mm.
There are some persons, so you get into a relationship, people don't stay with you.
Mm.
Before you know it, you know, they've left you, they've just broken up with you. You can't understand it. It's been repeatedly happening. This is what he's trying to say, that there is a pattern that needs to be corrected very quickly.
Yeah.
I have somebody recently, one of my girls, she was telling me recently that she doesn't just know why, but she can't stay in a relationship. I'm telling you, she cannot stay in a relationship. She gets into a relationship, before you know it, she's leaving on her own. Nothing happens. Don't say no. She just finds this hatred for the person. This thing has happened also 10 times. And she's young. There's also somebody I know that all she does is that she sleeps with people. Not because she wants attention or she loves sex. She just enjoys. And she just jumps in. Once she has slept with you, she will leave. She will jump into the next thing. Listen, there are patterns. Life is not something you live excitedly.
Yeah.
Life is not something you live very lightly. Life is a battlefield. I'm telling you the truth. Life is a battlefield. So you must handle it well. You must handle it not naturally. You must handle it with supernatural power, which is Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah. So you do what? Identify the patterns in your family. Number two, intentionally live the kingdom values. Intentionally what? Live the kingdom values. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. I wish you can get it on the screen. Let's read together. He said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so what? Do what?
Walk ye in him.
So what?
Walk ye in him.
He didn't say receive Jesus and rest. He didn't say receive Jesus and be plain. He did what? He said, gave an instruction. He said, walk ye in him. You must be intentional about what? Your Christian walk. That's what I'm saying. You don't want patterns to occur in your generation and in your life. You must what? Be intentional. You must walk the walk. You must walk the walk of purity.
True.
I had a pastor friend who wanted to get married. And the first thing he did was to now search and identify what was the pattern in his family. I realized that 8 of his siblings that were married, all of them married out of wedlock. Eight. Okay, let's assume 1 was a mistake, 2 was a mistake. 8 cannot be a mistake. 8 outside wedlock. In that 8, he had 2 that were pastors outside wedlock. And now he wants to get married. And before he gave his life to Christ, he realized that he was a womanizer. Now he'll give his life to Christ. Guess what he did? He has to start setting boundaries. He has to start living life intentionally. The moment he started his relationship, he told his wife, we can't. Strongholds are gateways. The devil will always find a way to enter into a man's life. Some of you, what you are playing with now is fire. Fire that will lead you to repeat the same pattern your parents made, or your uncle, or your auntie, or the territory. You know, every territory has a spirit. And if you see the spirit of a territory, it's as a result of the lifestyle of the people. And many people wake up to start living that lifestyle, and they contact that spirit. He had to see that, started putting structure. Told his wife that I was going to get married. We are not going to be sleeping together in the same place. We can't be seen together in the same place until we marry. I want to break this pattern. And guess what? He was the first to break that pattern in his family. Listen now. Jesus did not just show up. He did not just receive Jesus. What did he do? He walked ye in him. Some of you don't walk with Jesus. You don't walk with him. You've received him, but yet you are still playing. Am I talking to somebody? So it is not enough to receive Jesus. It's for you to walk in it. You have a pay your neighbor. You have a part to play.
You see, our generation, this generation, we have gotten used to what is trendy, not what is true. And no matter how porn, you know, if you go on Instagram now, streets of Instagram, you see walking porn.
True.
You no longer need to search for porn videos. You see the way people expose their private parts in public on social media. You see a lot of things now in our generation. You see, what is trending now is sexual immorality.
True.
And a lot of people, a lot of youth have accepted it. They now live with it. That some persons who are even very dogged about not keeping their values, they find it very intimidating to even talk, say that, you know, I've never slept with anybody. I'm telling you the truth. They find it very intimidating. They are not even bold to say that they cannot. Some people are scared that, you see, if I don't have sex with him now or with her now, the person will leave me.
Mm.
You see, you are more scared of a human being than God.
Mm.
Unconsciously, some persons reverence humans more than God. Listen, values is what makes you exceptional. I met different kinds of guys, tell you when I knew I was coming from. And listen, don't wait on a man, wait on God.
Mm.
Don't be so busy waiting on a man without waiting on God, because you'll miss it there. When you wait on God, he makes all things beautiful in his time. But when you wait on a man, you want to compromise.
Yeah.
Let's be so lost in God that you do not care whether you meet a spouse or not. Because when God sees you at that level, he knows that you are ready for a spouse. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So listen, when you understand that, like I said before, when you understand that you are predestined, when you also understand that there are patterns in your life, there is a way you behave.
That's true.
It's not about it. Your pastor can lay hands on you up and down, but there's something called self-deliverance.
Yeah.
And one of the ways to be delivered from a particular thing that's nothing in your life is purity.
True.
Sexual purity is key to stopping different patterns. Because you see, when you do not have a pure life, or you do not have a sexual pure life, you open the gate for the entertainment of the devil.
True.
Because the devil is looking for reasons why he should attack you. Reasons. So values make you exceptional. It doesn't matter whether every other person is doing it. Even if you have to be the one to leave the values alone, let people call you rigid. If you are rigid for Christ, stay there. And see him bless you. I mean, when I was still single, it was really a very difficult thing. I mean, like, it was really... In my office where I work, my office, and they practically bring out their mobile phone. They are watching videos. They'll be telling me, you are too Jew now. Mugu, Jew. You don't even know anything that is happening. You don't know what's up. If the only what's up you know is Christ, let it be your only what's up. they will tease me. They look at you. Today, now, I'm married. It's not the same. The same person that are like, look at you, you are not Jew, everything is God, you are too spiritual. If you are too, I mean, if you are not spiritual, what else again do you need in this life? So you need to keep your values make you valuable. Everybody can call you rigid, even at the time, I remember when I was, when we were serving in the same church, my husband met me in the same church, you know, but of course he didn't ask me out there until I left. Amen. But while we were there, my husband, we were friends. He was wondering, like, what's wrong with this family? She's too select. She selects too much. What's wrong with her? She's too rigid. He didn't understand that the kind of people that were coming for me, all they wanted is sex. I'm telling you, it's not because you are possessed when different kind of people come like that. Who you are is who you attract, but who you are determines who you entertain.
Mm-hmm.
So you can attract the good, bad, and ugly. It's fine because you are beautiful. You are handsome. But do not entertain different kinds. Just entertain someone that is not of value to you. And the only way you can choose who is valuable to you is when your value stands out. Value is not what you say. You don't say I'm pure. No. Value is what you demonstrate.
Yes.
So people need to see your value. People need to see what you are living by. So when we were there in the church, when we were serving, my husband would be like, I was wrong with this. He didn't know that the guys that were coming, all they wanted was sex. And I didn't want, so I'll just drop them. Like, I beg, I don't want. Like, the mother would say, my wife was always breaking people's hearts. So, if you need to be rigid so that you can stand firm in Christ, if you need to be rigid so that you can be successful in the choice of a partner, because sometimes when you are too used to sex, it blinds you from choosing rightly.
True.
Praise God.
True. So, you must what? Walk in him. Walking in him is putting structure in your life.
I'm telling you.
It's very difficult structure. Some of you may have to leave Facebook. Basically because you know your kind of weakness.
True.
Some of you may have to delete Chrome. Delete some... may have to have your phone without internet because you are struggling with porn. Am I talking to somebody? It is right. Some of you need to stop listening to secular music.
Yeah, true.
You are listening to a song and you are shouting, all I want is your waist, all I want is your waist. And you are wondering why you are always looking at a lady's waist. Is what you are listening to.
True.
Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah.
You have to put this structure. You have to be intentional. You cannot say you want to live sexual purity and What you watch, what you listen to, what you are excited about, they are all around you and you tolerate it. You must be rigid about your life and your destiny. You are not living for your friends, even if they call you old school. They called me old school as well, too. When we were preparing for our marriage, we told them that it's going to be gospel songs, all true. You're like, are there gospel songs? They were laughing at us, so you just be singing Frank Edwards in your song, in your wedding. That's what I want.
True.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And we insisted, my friends who drink alcohol, say, so there's not going to be alcohol in your wedding. I don't. I said, that is what I want. I know what I'm fighting. I know what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Your battles and my battles are not the same.
True.
You can live your life based on your own battles and based on what you want in your life. You will not be the one that will be determining what I want in my life. You don't know my battles. You don't know where I'm coming from. You don't know what we are dealing with. Am I talking to somebody? You put structure. You must be intentional. We told ourselves we're going to have sex for the first time at the redemption camp.
Yeah.
After marriage. Before you laugh, is our life. Because we wanted an holy, not hotel where somebody has defied the bed already. They will not go there. No. Where we are doing it, you know, angels, there's koinonia. We said we wanted to be intentional. Am I talking to you? We went right and told ourselves that all the money that they spread us for our wedding, we're going to take a percentage and go to redemption camp. So as we're leaving our wedding, we're traveling, leaving our city to redemption camp. And we went to Adeboye's house, the room, the one they told to a tourist center. We went to the room and we knelt down and we dropped our offering. I began to pray and began to raise an altar for our marriage. We started telling God what we wanted.
Yeah.
Am I talking to somebody? So I was not raising an altar after I've gone to Shakeways. When you have problems, you are still shaking waist. All I want is your waist. Your generation, they cannot vouch for you. You are still shouting, all I want is your waist. We were not in there where we were intentional about our life.
True.
We didn't know what God was going to do through us. But we know that God definitely will do something through us.
Yeah.
If we decide to be intentional.
I'm telling you.
We raised that altar. We told God everything. We said, God, make our marriage a role model.
Mm.
We were saying it at that place.
Mm.
The heavens opened. And the Spirit of God dropped. And today, is it not evident? There is no accident in destiny.
You
are the one that determines what you want in life. Angels are everywhere looking for men to raise as voices in this generation.
Yeah.
But you must be what? Intentional. How bad do you want it? If you are not rugged about it, you will not get it.
True.
I'm telling you, God will not do business with a lazy man or a lazy woman. God will not do business with a woman who has given up on herself. I say, that's why if I just feel married now, I just born 3 children, I'm okay. But then God, I want you to use me as Ketri Kuma. God said, this is why you are joking with your life.
I'm telling you, true.
You are joking with your life. So you see, a little of some of the things you are seeing in our life, you are seeing where it came from. We didn't jump. Myself and pastor went to mini campus. I told you, I'm looking for Zion. The school feet at mini campus, where they were live. I said, I'm looking. Where we now go? This was where we used to pray. We'll spend all night. I will leave Agboba. I will come to that place. Myself and my friend, we are there praying. Nothing happens by accident.
Nothing.
I was in Venture of Learning when I lost my dad. I went back home. I was the first child. I went to go and bury my dad. They didn't see me cry. When they were laying the sand, we were all drinking. I was drinking Fanta as we were burying. So I'm like, you are not serious. What was that? I said, because I was a campus worship pastor. I said, I need to go back. Bury father and go back. So after the burial, I took all the pictures. The moment I landed the lorry, I went to Zion where I used to pray. As I was entering that field, tears well up in my eyes. I laid the pitcher down and I began to cry. It was there I prayed. I said, Father, I have lost my biological father. Who is now my father? I was there for hours until God showed up in that field and said, Oh, I will be your father. You must be intentional about your relationship and your work with God. Nothing happens by mistake. You must put that structure in your life to have a glorious destiny. Otherwise, you'll be a victim of circumstance. Let's run.
Number three. Guide your mindset and your confessions.
Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 18, verse 21. It said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It said, those who love it will eat what? The fruit. So what are you saying?
What are you saying? What are you thinking?
What are your confessions? There are no good men again in this generation. No better woman. No. As you are saying it, the devil is arranging a woman that will not be good. A knife, not a wife. He's arranging a knife for you. Because it's your confession that is attracting what you will get.
Your confession best manifestation.
I was among my friends, so we have this sort of confession. No, they are no virgins, so no virgins again. Like they were the ones that this virgin or the virgins. They went over, no virgin again, no virgin. I mean, we'll see now, that's the only thing they talk of. No virgin. I'm telling you, but I see virgins everywhere. I see virgins. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm wondering why they are not seeing it. Because their belief system has brought them to what they can see and what they should see. So because they don't believe it, they see prostitute, they see a lot, they see
I'm
a man of
sure.
You know, for me, because I believe in purity, purified people always around me. Because you will attract what you think, what you believe.
True, very true.
If you believe that men are abusers, men are cheats, those are the kind of people that are coming your way. Am I talking to somebody? It is what you believe you attract.
I'm telling you, what you believe you receive.
I now came to me there when I found my wife. I said, I want to marry tomorrow. I said, she's a virgin. I took her to the group, my friend. I said, she's a virgin. They joke on me. Hey, the girl don't scam you. The girl don't scam you. Fine girls like this can never be virgin. She didn't like it. You're not smart. Because that is what they believe, that fine girls can be virgins.
True.
Many of them today, all their marriages, they are struggling because of what they believe.
True.
They believed it and they attracted it. I'm telling you, if all the men around you in your family, they are all cheats, never submit to that confession. Stick to the word. God, when you created a man, you said he was good. And when you created man, you had peace and you gave him dominion. Not all men are cheats.
True.
You begin to have that confession. And guess what? You will attract such a person.
True.
What is your confession?
What is your confession? Every time I saw what was contrary to the prophecy over my life, I did not accept it. The reality you see doesn't mean it's the prophecy. But don't make the reality the prophecy. Because unconsciously, you can make a reality prophecy. You know, there's a way you see something, if you're not careful with not casting down the imagination that is in your heart. The truth is, it will begin to become a prophecy over your life. So while I saw men cheat around me. I mean, I saw my dad beat my mom, literally. As in, like, I would see my dad literally beat my mom in my presence. He had beat my mom to an extent that she developed black eyes. She was hospitalized. I saw those things growing up, so it was enough for me. I hated men at the time, that's the truth. In the kind of home I came from, I disliked men. I hated marriage. I got into school, attended Scripture Union. My parents had fought in my secondary school. My dad came
in
to school in public. And I was a newscaster in secondary school. My dad came to pick my daughter. You know the sharing of children when home is, you know, parents are separated. So my dad rushed first to come and pick my elder sister. And my mom came too and came with her sister. So war broke out right there in school. It was a public thing. My immediate younger sister collapsed as she saw it. And then I had to brave up and, you know, and all of that. Now, what am I trying to say? I saw all of these things growing up. But every day I write confessions. I'll be like, my marriage will work. I got into school almost a tomboy because I hated men. I hated men with so much passion. Every man I saw, I would see that man like my father. He was so bad. Because I saw my dad beat my mom. I've seen my mom in the hospital for 1 month. I mean, he was bad. He was really bad growing up as a child. You know, and all of that. So, after seeing all of these things, what would you expect from a child? But I proposed in my heart that my marriage would work. How did this transformation come? I got into school, joined fellowship, joined scripture union. I was from a Catholic background. When I got to school, I changed my church and all of that. You know, I just wanted something more in my life. And when I was there, I met some friends, you know. And when I see their parents, you know, I'm like, okay, this marriage thing can work. Yeah. I started looking for scriptures that connected to the reality.
Yeah.
Because, you see, I started making scriptures personal in my life. Everywhere I see I write Ann Willie there.
Yeah.
If you see my old Bible, you see Ann Willie, I say writing. I say changing my story with my confession.
Yeah.
I say my marriage will work. My marriage, even when I go for holiday and I'll see different kinds of things, still repeating the same thing. I'll be like, my marriage will work. My marriage will be successful. My marriage will not fail. I will meet the right person and he will cherish me. I was always speaking those things. When I was about to get married, my sister was in marriage for 6 years. She had not given birth. That was another past again. In marriage for 6 years, was I struggling with thoughts that will never give birth? Oh, I had those thoughts. Casting down imagination.
That
is so you see, the scripture says, guide your heart with all diligence, because guiding your heart is work.
Yes.
It didn't say guide your heart. It said with all diligence. Because it takes hard work to guide your heart. Because if you don't guide your heart with all the hard work, because in your mind is a room of warfare.
Yes.
So you need to constantly war in your heart.
Mm.
And I knew I had those thoughts playing. Every time, every day, I would write on stick notes. I'm casting down imagination. It's not one day, it's an everyday thing.
Mm.
Casting down, it's a casted down, it's casting down. It's a present continuous. So every day I was fighting the imaginations coming to my head. My sister, time for me to get my sister has not given birth for 6 years. I went to meet my pastor's wife. I think that, okay, she gave birth, we're close. So I started sowing seeds. I said, Ann Willie, you will give birth. Ann Willie, you will carry your own child. Ann Willie, you will do this. I was speaking. Because you see, sometimes the confession should not be silent.
Yeah.
Because you see, sometimes when the confessions are silent, you are still battling with something.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sometimes you need to make it loud.
Yes.
So that the person next room can hear.
Yes,
that
yes.
You are fighting and you are battling with something.
Yes.
Every day I will wake up. I will make loud confessions. I will look at the sticker in front of me, painted on my room wall. I'll be like, Ann Willie, you are successful.
Yes.
Ann Willie, there's a glorious destiny over your head. Ann Willie, doesn't matter how your parents' marriage will be. When I got married, wasn't out of 5 years of marriage, my sister got divorced. This was another one. And I said, it doesn't matter what happened. I don't care how many years my parents stayed. I don't care how my mom got married. My mom got married out of wedlock. She was pregnant before she got married. I said, Ann Willie, you won't take this life. You won't take this route. You are separated. You are a covenant child. I was speaking it until it became. You need to speak some things until it becomes. It doesn't matter whether you have been raped many times. It doesn't matter whether your mom gave birth to you and did not get married.
Yes.
Until you make love confessions, you need to begin to become a prophet over your head.
Yes.
Stop looking for pastor to pray. It's okay. But can you be the prophet? Can you speak over your life? Casting down imaginations. Pulling down strongholds. The devil needs to see a warrior in you. So many people are sitting, you are sleeping. Just like Jesus saw the man at the pool of Bethesda. He says, arise, take up your sleeping mat.
Yes, yes.
Can you take up those silent confessions and begin to speak over your life? You have stayed there looking. Stayed there repeating cycles. It's time to change it by speaking onto that pattern. The reality is not the prophecy.
Yes.
Don't accept the reality and call it prophecy.
Yes.
Death and life lies in the power of the tongue. Choose ye, which one do you want to see? It doesn't matter if I was seeing dead things around me. Every time I saw dead, I spoke life to myself.
Yeah.
I said, that way, this is you. Because you see, when you were created, the power of resurrection was alive. If Jesus could call someone that was dead rot in the tomb. Mm. Who are you? There's a power that resides in you.
Yes, yes.
And the last thing is, the last point is abide in God.
Abide.
Abide in God.
John chapter 15 verse 4. Abide.
Abide.
In God.
Abide.
Abide. Abide. In God. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He was not speaking to unbelievers. He was speaking to his disciples, people who had believed in him. He was trying to tell them that, you see this race, this marital destiny, this workshop we came for, you cannot do it with your own wisdom. You have to abide in me. You have to abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it's plugged into the tree, you cannot truly see fruits in your life if you do not abide in God. But you see, the problem with our generation is that we run democracy. Do you know what is democracy? Government by the people, for the people, and unto the people. We see that we have House of Parliament in our hearts and House of Rep. When God gives instruction, we can deliberate on it and decide to impeach God. When God says you don't marry that man, you will tell God, I don't have time. I am 30 years old. Because Christianity is democracy for you. When God says stay here, you say, God, things don't grow in Ilori. It is better off when I leave town. Because you are running democracy. You cannot truly bear fruit of your own except you abide with me. If you abide with God, you will stop asking foolish questions in relationship meetings. Pastor, the guy said, unless I have sex with him, he will not marry me. What should I do? You have not abide. If you abide, questions like that will not come from your mouth. If you abide, you will close doors to immorality. If you abide, you will stand your ground and say, if I perish, I perish. Where are the men that are abiding in our generation? Where are the Christians? We cannot separate church again from club. Because the lifestyle of the church, of the club, has become the lifestyle of the church. Men are not abiding anymore. If you want to see the worst weddings now, come to church. Where women, they expose their breasts. Even we as pastors that want to join them, we are closing our eyes. And we ask you, where are the children that are abiding? Where are the men that are abiding? If God must make you a voice in this generation, he needs you what? To abide. He said, you can't do no more except you abide. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Apostle Paul understood this revelation. Galatians 2 verse 20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Many of you are in Christ. You are not yet crucified. You are not yet crucified. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it is not I that live anymore, but Christ that lives in me. It is not my will. Oh, I wish I can just be sleeping with guests. But it is not I that live. If they leave me, my flesh, this my flesh is bad. If they leave me, this my flesh will spend the whole night watching porn. But I have come to realize that I have been crucified with Christ. Oh, it's not you that is living anymore. It is Christ that lives in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Whose will are you following? Is it your will or the will of God? Whose will? Let me tell you why you have not seen God. You are still walking based on your will.
You are not yet crucified. When you enter that realm, when you are crucified with God, everything will die. You will say yes to God. Apostle Paul went further to say, "Hi, a prisoner of God. Who jailed him? Who arrested him?" It was self-arrest. He went to meet Jesus and brought his hand like this and said, "Chain me. It is you I will follow. I will go nowhere." That was why his name was the loudest voice in the history of scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to see God? You must abide. You must have koinonia. Myself and my wife, we abide. We saw the pastors. Our first sister, the marriage has gone. 5 years into marriage, gone. When we got married, the devil told us, he said, "Your marriage will not last 5 years." We're not like, one pastor looked at us and said, "Those two boys, leave them, let us see them. 5 years." He mentioned 5 years. I said, "We are in trouble." Pastor said 5 years. Another, we saw family pattern. God told us 5 years. Guess what? We started facing battles. I mean battles. We faced battles. The devil shook our marriage. Shook it. But listen, he couldn't win because we were abiding. We were abiding. We were abiding. We were abiding. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to raise men that we abide. The key to a successful marriage is this that we have told you. Abide.
Abide.
I know there are a lot of relationship seminars you go for that will motivate you. That's why I like the coordinator of these meetings. We connect. They will motivate. 10 steps to catch a guy that is tall, dark, and handsome. No. This is the key. If I abide with Christ and he abides with me, it becomes my battle axe. It begins to break every yoke around me. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to abide.
Abide. Abide. Make him your residence. Until you abide in God, fruitfulness cannot abound.
Yes.
I remember one time I was in school, I found it very hard going home. Some of you are like me, you understand, you can relate with this experience. It was so hard. When it's time for holiday, I'm shaking. Maybe if I was in bed that time, I'll be happy with ASUU strike as long as my parents can leave me.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I found it, I didn't look forward to holidays. Because when I go home, it's always fine. It's always foreign. After my parents separated, we had to now go to my grandparents' house to start staying. It was another world, so. And right there in the house, looking round, one day the Holy Spirit said, "I will lead thee my sheep." You see, many, we quote the scripture, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When you call that for Bible recitation, you quote it out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's so easy. In fact, when I was in Catholic, it was one of our responsorial songs. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If we sing it, we quote it. It's very easy to quote. But listen, if you look at that scripture very well, it's very deep. The Lord cannot be your shepherd until you are a sheep.
Yes.
There is no shepherd. The supervision of a shepherd is to lead a sheep.
Yes.
So until you become a sheep, you cannot be led by shepherds. Have you ever wondered why you are still lacking? Have you ever wondered why you cannot understand where you are? Have you ever wondered why you cannot understand why you are not receiving clearance? Because you have refused to be a sheep. Shepherds lead sheep. Until you are a sheep, you can't be led by a shepherd. The sheep, my sheep will hear my voice. My sheep will listen. My sheep will obey. All these ones that were calculating and analyzing. One of the ways, or the major way to destroy a pattern over your life is to be obedient.
Aye.
And sheep are obedient. They don't have a life of their own. They are directionless. You see a shepherd holding a rod and staff, and the sheep is going. I have to begin to pray. I say, "Lord, prune me. If it has to be you, whatever me, if you have to prune me for my season, Lord, prune me.
Abide.
Lord, become my government." When you abide in him, he takes control over you.
Abide.
He takes control over your life. He becomes the government. When somebody is your government, you don't have control over your time.
Yes.
You don't have control over anything that you need to do. You say, "Lord, yes to your will. Yes to my will." You become a sheep. You are directionless. There is no other voice, no ambition, no career. You are like, "God, except it's you, I build in vain. Except it's you that gave me the spouse." Only one that was asking, "Do we have to hear God for the church of the spouse?" When you come from my kind of family, we hear God. There are questions you won't ask. emotionally calculated and they are still missing it in marriage.
Mm.
Then why will I be talking about just emotion?
Mm.
I have to hear God.
Yes.
I am not the institution of our marriage. He's the one. He has a manual of our marriage. So because I have decided to make him my shepherd, I must hear him. I didn't just say yes to my husband. Listen, when you walk with God, it's not in the duration of your response. Some people say, I waited 1 year to say yes. Not be shakarating. You can be shakarating in flesh, nothing in your spirit.
Yes.
I'm not talking about that.
Yes.
It took me 3 days to say yes to this one because I was hearing God.
Yes.
I didn't need any special thing. I didn't need any many months or many years. When you walk with God, it directs your steps. You are not confused. When I met with him, I prayed. After praying, I found peace. Not peace in flesh.
Yes.
Because you can have peace in flesh, nothing in your spirit.
Yes.
I'm talking about emotional peace.
Yes.
I'm talking about peace in the spirit.
Yes.
I had peace. Physically, I didn't want to say yes to him. Mm. But when I looked beyond the physical, the Holy Ghost said, this is the one.
Mm.
There is a destiny in front of you. I wasn't asking how will I, when I knew where I was coming from. In marriage, even in marriage, I still hear God.
Mm.
Listen, when you want to become a voice in your generation, you must hear
God.
There is a voice that supersedes your voice.
Yes.
There is a voice that your emotions respond to. There is a voice that your emotions, there is a voice that negative persons answer to. There is a voice. No wonder Jesus meeting the woman at the well, the Shunammite woman. She had married and married and she had 5 husbands. And Jesus meets her. How many husbands? She said the truth. Because you see what was happening to that woman, just like many ladies sitting down here. You depend so much on a man to satisfy you. You have tried the first, tried the second. So there's now a repeated cycle.
Yes.
Nothing is working. Because the only person that can satisfy you, even in marriage, is God.
Yes.
Your husband or your spouse cannot satisfy you. Oh, don't get married with the mindset that he's going to complete me. You will never have.
Mm.
You have been completed in him from the beginning. Whether you have negative pattern or not, you are already complete. The reality does not change the completion. It doesn't all tight. But you see, can you abide? Can you make your home in him? Can you dwell in his secret place so he begins to show you secrets about your life? Can you dwell in his secret place so he begins to show you secrets about your destiny? Can you dwell in his secret place so that he begins to show you secrets about who you say yes to? Oh yes, there is a voice that exceeds every other voice. There is a voice you must respond to. There is that voice. I wanted to study about chemistry. Nothing about acting. But you see, because I had a koinonia with the Holy Ghost, he connected me to this man because there was a destiny in front. Every time when I was single, I've had dreams that I will lead women. I will have a women's ministry. Never did I become any of it in singlehood until I got married to this man. When you follow God, there are dimensions about your life that are not completely revealed. But the more he becomes your shepherd, the more about you is being revealed. But until you make a home in him and he becomes a home in you, there are lots of things about your life that you will not see. All you will still see is the reality. But there is a prophecy over your life. And until you abide, that prophecy won't speak. Until you abide, that prophecy won't speak. Stop knowing, stop trying to find out the times and seasons of your life, but abide. Abide. Your business is to seek him, his righteousness. And every other thing will be added. But can you seek him first? Can you seek him first? I didn't want to know how my marriage would be. But can you seek him? Seek you first. The Bible is well scripted. It's complete. Can you seek him first? Seek you first the kingdom. You have a responsibility. When you say your responsibility responds to his ability.
Yeah.
But can you be responsible? Seek him first. Seek his voice. Seek his will. Seek his righteousness. Seek his secret place. And let him begin to show you dimensions about your life. The things that we are seeing now, windows, we never knew windows. Nothing about windows. But when God wants to change a pattern in your life, when God wants to command men to you, you need to rest in him so there shall be fruitfulness over your life.
The Spirit of God is in this place. It's in this place. He said, I will be your voice. I will be your voice. I will be your voice. I will be your voice.
I will lead you through the mountains, through the mountains. And I will take you through the valley. There is more. He said, you have not started. There is more. Begin to drink now. He said, there is more. He said, there is more. There is more. Take me to that place. Take me to that place. Take me to that place. You can lift up your hands towards heaven. The angels of God is here. If you can.
Listen.
There's a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost that will be coming on somebody now. It's a fresh baptism. It is God saying, there is more. I want to start with you afresh. I see it. It's coming strong now on three ladies. Three ladies. It's coming strong. Three ladies. It's coming strong. It's a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's coming. To my left, to my right. It's coming strong. Holy Ghost, begin to deal with these ones. Start afresh with this one. Holy Ghost, begin to move to the eyes from every seat. Begin to touch this one.
Listen now.
I hear in my spirit commissioning. Listen, God wants to commission men in this meeting. Commissioning. This line, this seat, there's a prophetic grace that wants to fall on us. I see an angel touching somebody. Oh God, a prophetic grace is coming strong. And God says, I want to make your mouth a prophet, a trumpet. I am amplifying your voice. It's coming strong. Where is that person? It's coming strong. On you, it's coming strong. It's coming strong. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming strong. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. And you shall be witnesses unto me. From Ilorin to the nations of the world. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Holy Ghost. 1, 2, 3, 4. Holy Ghost. 1, 2, 3, 4. Holy Ghost. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, listen. Listen. Holy Spirit wants to do too much. Too much. Listen. Oh, angels everywhere with lamps ready to release gifts. He's commissioning evangelists here. He's commissioning prayer warriors here. I see Deborahs here. Deborahs. An oil for Deborahs. 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 In Jesus' name. We are going to shout Jesus seven times. And he will do what he wants to do now. Get ready to receive. Some of you, the power of God will eat you. See, don't look at your neighbor. He will eat you so strong.
You begin to speak in strange tongues. It is an anointing. Out of your belly will begin to flow rivers of living water. Strange habits will die in this place. Strange habits. We die in this place. Are you ready now? Are you ready to receive now? There is a position and an attitude to receive. Are you ready to receive now in this place? If I say Jesus, you shout Jesus. In Jesus' name. When you shout Jesus, be silent. Don't pray. Oh. The yoke of premature death will break from a family now. I see it clearly. That pattern of premature death, we break now. We break now. We break now. Jesus! It's welling up on a lady now. It's welling up. I see the tears coming out of your eyes. I see it already. Jesus! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus! There is somebody under the sound of our voice. You were raped when you were young. And it was an opening for the devil to do what he wants to do. You became so hot. Forgiveness is coming now. Healing is coming now. God said, I am sealing that entrance. I see it clearly. Healing is coming on you now. Jesus! Jesus! We are going to shout the seven now. Every case I have called and the one that the Holy Spirit wants to do, He will begin to do. He will begin to distribute gifts to men. Gifts. Healing. Forgiveness. Empowerment. Are you ready to receive now? With a loud voice, Jesus! Yes. The power of God. The power of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Begin to deal on their cases. There is a cry.
Everyone be silent. Shh. Please bring the strings low. Lift up your hands, everyone. Can you just be on neutral strings, please? There is a jar of oil from on high. I am not done with my peace. people. It is a season of freshness, so I am pouring from on high my offer. It is a new dawn of my glory, because I will make you shine forth for the world to see. To my left, I am dropping this oil. Receive of my oil. Receive. It's coming on more. No longer shall you be laid back. It is a new dawn of my glory, It is a new dawn of my glory. From this day, you will begin to do exploits, and men will celebrate you. No more shall you be laid back. No more. I am making you a voice that is emerging from your household. Oh. I am catching that oil on you, and it begins to hit your leg. You will begin to run, because upon you is speed. I see all around this auditorium. I see a rapper fly round, and is about to hit someone at the back. To the front, it says they want to rap you, and right now you will see a pillar beside you. It is my pillar of defense. It says, I am removing the affliction that has held you back for years. It is my rapper. You can't resist it. It has held you back for too long. You're my child. It is the Holy Ghost invasion. I am invading through thick walls of limitations. You have been limited for too long. I want to embrace you specially. I want to launch you into another season. From this day, men will call you fruitful. Lift up your hands, everyone. The Holy Ghost says, I should transfer upon men this hour. He says, I brought you from the backside of life, and I have made you walk on a route that many are looking to walk upon. I need you to impart on seven of them. Lift up your hands, and just fix on him something that's living from my loins. 2, 7, 6, sa 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 I see. There is a music minister. It's coming. It's starting with you. Two. The rest of them. It is a transference. I want to do more with you. I think so heavy on a music minister, yeah? And it's hitting the rest. No more shall you run from what I am asking to do. I am shaping you. It is your season. Oh. It's coming no more. It's coming no more. Oh more. Hey. Oh. I hear a new utterance. A new utterance. Oh. When you speak from today, your words that you say, there will be a quick confirmation. And right now, what am I doing with you is that I'm anointing your tongue. Oh. Don't try to resist the tongue. It's coming on you heavy. It's coming on you heavy, 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 heavy. There is a peace in your spirit right now, and it's flowing like rivers. It's taking away depression. Oh, and I'm giving you Holy Ghost joy. There is a confirmation today. Oh, yes. Oh. It is the Holy Ghost laughter. You haven't done this in a long time. It is the joy of my presence. No more shall you be depressed. No. No more shall you be slave to depression. No. No more. I am giving you honey. You have been in a desert place for too long. Oh. I am about to sweeten your life and bring you to your place of affluence. Just like I did in the time of Esther. I want to do with you, and there is a drop of my oil right on your head now. Oh, it's coming on you strong. Oh, your life will command men of affluence. Your life will command men of affluence. I am delaying you for a reason. I want to sweeten you for your spouse. Oh, it is a special destiny. Oh. You are a national voice. You are. And there is a fragrance on your head. No more will men resist you. It is coming on to my right. Oh. You will no longer be resistant. Men will see and will help you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There are angels everywhere. To my right, standing by the pillar, I see an angel holding a blue basket. And it says, I want to give someone there a gift. I am here to give you a parcel. Can you receive it at that corner? I have been sent by God to you. I have heard your midnight cheers. I want to give you a parcel because in your womb it is a supernatural conception. Oh, take it. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy God. Something just left someone's womb now. It is the healing you've been waiting for. Something just dried up right around the walls of your womb. I see a lady. You have been timid for too long, and that is the reason you haven't answered your call. I want to anoint you with boldness. There is a jar of oil pouring on your head. It is a crown of mantle. You will step in and answer your call. The bad thing has been passed to you for a long time. Run! With the anointing bestowed upon you, run! Run!
There is a brother under the sound of our voice. A brother. You are dealing with strong limitations in your family. Strong. You have seen your father labor like an elephant, but yet eat like a ant. And yet you come from a Christian home, but you don't know why. God said, I am ending it with you.
I am starting a new phase with you. That brother, I can see chain in your leg, and the Holy Ghost is breaking it. It's a fire that is coming on your leg. He's breaking it. He's breaking it. He's breaking it. He's breaking it. It starts with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's crowning on you. Speed, 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 speed. You will overtake. You will overtake. You will overtake. You will overtake. You will recover all that which your family could not achieve. You will achieve. You will achieve. Father, Father, let your anointing fall now on that person.
Finally, we want to pray so we can go get ready for tomorrow meeting. Please invite your friends and your loved ones to come. You can't enjoy this presence alone. But meanwhile, is there anyone under the sound of my voice? You have forgotten this Jesus. You just gave up. You just gave up. You were tired. You were just tired. Or is there anyone under the sound of my voice? You don't know this Jesus, but you want to accept him as the Lord of your life. Or you are a Christian, you've been running democracy all this while. You just do things as you like. You've never really understood the Lordship of Jesus. And you say, the Willows, I want you guys to lead me to Jesus again. Wherever you are under the sound of our voice, please just run to the altar. Wherever you are, just run. Just run. This is a golden opportunity to meet Jesus again. This is a golden opportunity to meet Jesus again. Wherever you are under the sound of my voice. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. I'm going to count 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm excited that we are all believers. I'm excited that we've all surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. Can we prophesy into your life this evening? Wherever you are, please just be all standing. Lift up your hands towards everyone. Father, this is a new beginning of a new walk with your children. Every prophecy said concerning their life is made manifest today. It is a new walk with you. Father, even as they live here, that fire will keep burning. It will burn throughout the night. It will burn for weeks. For months, for years. That like the disciples, they will look at them and say, these ones have been with Jesus. Because they see their boldness. That will be your testimony in the name of God the Father. And of the Son. And of the Holy Ghost. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Listen. We are going to take our relationship segment tomorrow again, but I hear in my spirit that there's going to be great deliverance tomorrow morning.
great deliverance. I don't know what that means, but there will be great deliverance. Get ready. Get ready. Invite your friends. Invite your loved ones. You can be the reason why a generation is saved. Invite your friends. Invite your loved ones. Can we celebrate Jesus?